This is Alan Karpik with our birthday Zoom. And man, I almost forgot it. We had a little pre-talk here with Lamar Kennard. He turns a young, fit 44, man. You look good. And you're in the middle of spring ball, so we really appreciate your time today with the Miami University Redhawks. Happy birthday, first and foremost.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I know that we have a lot of fun doing this. It's great to connect with people like yourself. And I always ask the first question on the Arnie's birthday Zoom is what birthday traditions. I know you came to Purdue from Elkhart. I assume that you maybe, I'm making an assumption, you grew up there as a
yes.
Well, but tell me about any great birthday traditions or things you did with your family on your birthday or favorite meals or things you may do today, given time in the middle of spring ball.
My birthday is on Earth Day.
Yeah, that's right.
So when I was in elementary school, I was picked out because it was my birthday to plant a tree. And so now me being a father with my kids, we usually try to plant something to kind of, have something to do together and watch it grow over the course of, the spring and the summer. So that's what's become the tradition for me. Celebrate Earth Day, celebrate my birthday as well.
I love that. That's as good a one as we've had on all these. You're doing something positive and to say the least with your family. And you're right, Earth Day's been going on since before you were born. So yes. That's a good thing. Not before I was born, but before you were born. So that's a good thing as well. Okay, tell me a little bit about you're obviously coaching running backs at the Miami University Redhawks you got programs been turning around. You've made some real strides here in the last couple of years. You were on Brock Spack's staff at Illinois State before that.
Yep.
Tell me about what's going on in your coaching career and what is keeping you fired up and excited for Redhawks football this fall.
Well, I'll tell you, 2 years ago, we won the MAC championship in 2019. Right. So, a lot of the heavy lifting, so to speak, was already done before I got here. But we were able to push through and get the MAC championship. And, COVID has been a tough experience for everybody. Yeah. And so last year we thought we had a really good season lined up, had everybody returning. And so our focus has just been on pushing forward, keeping these young men positive, trying to keep everybody healthy because we think we have a really good ball club. And thankfully the NCAA allowed some of the seniors to come back. So we just feel good. We just got to keep building. And obviously when you're at a MAC school, it's basically or somewhat of a developmental program and you just got to keep pushing through. And we feel real good, man. We've made a lot of progress and we're just hungry to get back on the field.
What did you learn last year? I mean, you only got to play three games. I mean, everything was truncated from that standpoint to, if you were going to tell your kids or 10 years from now, what really was a takeaway, what was that in terms of what you had to deal with and what you're still dealing with COVID?
Perseverance. You have got to, it's all the things that we try to teach young men about life. Football really is a story of life, right?
Yeah.
And as a coach, you have to coach everybody. And last year was a great example of you better coach the walk-on, the last guy on your roster, as hard as you coach the first guy, because you may not have the first guy available. Last year, we experienced that. I'd lost my top three or four running backs, and we ended up starting a walk-on running back against Ball State, and he ended up winning us the game. He scored two touchdowns, scored the game-winning touchdown, and, that's a moment for that young man he'll never forget. But from a coaching perspective and for the team, it's also a moment of, hey, everybody will have the same opportunity if you keep working, you keep pushing and you just keep fighting. You have to have perseverance.
And that is a perfect, you set me up perfectly, Lamar. I appreciate that. But a perfect segue to tell one of the great stories of perseverance in Purdue football memory, and that is your story. I mean, you came to Purdue as a walk-on. You may have believed in yourself and they believed in you enough to walk on in Jim Coletto's staff in 96. Then Joe Tiller it comes in and you become his first scholarship, first walk-on to earn a scholarship. Take me back to that moment, because that's become kind of a thing that now you celebrate. You see a lot of video on that stuff now, but it was no video around in 97. I don't think of that moment when you first learned that scholarship was coming your way. But tell us about your memory of that.
It was tough because as a freshman, me and another teammate of mine, Ray Lee, we had put ourselves in position to earn a scholarship from Jim Coletto. Then obviously he got, he moved on in his career.
Yeah.
Fired. And so when Coach Tiller came in, you know, he came in with a heavy hand, but he made a statement that stuck with me. Everyone, if you make it to fall camp next season, the best players are going to play.
Yeah.
The best players are going to play. Yeah. And I took that to heart. And so for me, when that moment came up, you know, I'm working my tail off. I get to fall camp and we had some attrition on the team.
Yes, you did.
Particularly in my position. So we get to fall camp. I walk into our first DB meeting and Coach Burke has my name at starting corner in the boundary corner. And I'm like, really?
Yeah.
But, you know, it became very real. And he told me, you got to earn it every day. You got to be willing to show some toughness and work through some things. We're giving you this opportunity because we know you have the acumen. You're a coach on the field to be able to handle this and some other responsibilities that we needed. And, you know, Coach Tiller had just gotten rid of had a public firing, as we like to say, of a teammate previous to that for poor behavior. So when he called me up on the stage on our rookie night, I was sweating bullets, man. I really wanted to pass out. I was so scared. I'm like, what did I do? So he put his arm around me and said, hey, Lamar, you know why you're up here? And I'm like, Coach, I have no idea. I have no idea. Yeah. Just, you know, in my head, I'm thinking, oh, my mom's going to be so upset. He's about to get rid of me. And, you know, he looked me in the eye and said, hey, we want to award you a scholarship. And I mean, my mind went blank. I couldn't hear anything, but I see my teammates going crazy. And it was straight out of a movie. And the next thing you know, they're snatching me in the air. I got tears, you know, in my eyes. And it was one of those moments that's just so profound because it goes beyond just the reward for me getting the scholarship, what it did for our team and how it galvanized us and brought us together. And this guy who was so hard on us, I think he ran out 16, 17 scholarship athletes. You know, it turned the tide and the teams viewed him, hey, this guy has a heart. He will reward you if you put in the work. And obviously it panned out moving forward, but it was just a blessing for me, you know, for my family, for my mom, all the hard work she put in into raising me. And then obviously for me individually, being able to obtain some goals, it reinforced the belief that through hard work, you can earn, you know, you can earn it. And and I became kind of that go-between between the guys who were the stars and the guys who were at the bottom. You know, those guys felt like they had an opportunity. All of a sudden we started getting really quality walk-ons who wanted to come to Purdue. You know, it gave you hope. So it's a moment in time I'll never forget. It clearly helped push my life in a different direction. Obviously I went on to have a pretty good career and, you know, I'm just blessed. It puts a smile on my face. It makes me tear up and, you know, it's a story I'm sure I'll be telling for the rest of my days.
Well, you'll be, and you don't know this, but I was had the good fortune of talking to Joe Tiller several times in the last year of his life. And he talked about one of his favorite moments. That was you. And meant more to him that a guy like Lamar Kennard, he could relate to you, I think, in a lot of ways too. And that was important to him. He liked the underdog, liked the guy that came in. He always said, he was too slow. but and you heard that 100 times. But you made plays. And look at that in 97, what a year for Purdue. As Joe Tiller said, Christmas every week. Four interceptions, you tied for the team. And you know, I know you didn't have three return to the house like Mike Rose, but you tied for the team lead. I mean, you came in and made a difference. What was that 97 season like now through the lens of 2021? You're probably never going to find a more fun football season than 1997 to be part of.
Absolutely not. You know, part of what made 97 great was that what we experienced the previous years, right?
Yeah.
Purdue had not had a consistent winning team, consistent winning season in quite some time. And, you know, we go out, we play our first game against Toledo, we lose.
Yeah.
Turns out Toledo was pretty good. Yeah. But, you know, it was disheartening. And we thought we were going to get chewed out a little bit. And Coach Tiller just said, stay the course. We're going to go out and beat Notre Dame. And it was just amazing. You know, the feeling of camaraderie, I mean, I can't explain it. I haven't seen a lot of my teammates in years, But when we see each other, it's like we're 18, 19, 20 year olds again. It was just a joy. The energy in the community, the fans, you know, the alumni, it was such a wonderful journey that it felt like we're all on it together. You know, the ups, the downs, to see young men who slowly started to become stars, to see coaches start to bloom as well. And you started to see their character, their confidence. And then, you know, rest in peace. But for Morgan Burke, it was, you know, he was proven correct. Joe Tiller's a heck of a coach. And we had to have a niche in order for us to be successful. And I mean, it was a bit of a, in the moment, it was a bit of a, you know, you're in your own little box, your own little space. Yeah. But to think back on it now, particularly as a coach, I'm now in the profession on the other side, to think of what he did in bringing together the community, the Purdue fan base, the academic side, the athletic side, to rejuvenate all of those things. It was such a wonderful time. And you had to be there to really understand the moment, because Purdue football was so down. Yeah. And then you go out and you have this wonderful season and you're like, hey, can you do it again? And then we did it again. So it was, it was just amazing.
Yeah. And person, interesting characters. I know that.
Oh, no question. You mentioned Mike Rose.
Your lifelong friends. And we won't go into that, but there, you could go down a whole laundry list of guys that were great personalities and competitive guys. And that also is what it took. And you had fun off the field as well, which is a good thing. Tell me, I mean, one thing that's interesting about your resume, which I think is interesting, very interesting, is you obviously graduated Purdue, did not get right into coaching. And spent some years in I would say public service, and that's clear when just talking to you that you're good at that. You're doing it in a different realm before you came back as a GA under Joe Tiller's staff in 2007. Tell me about that, and then what made you want to get back into coaching the way that you did, to really sacrifice a full time job to come on as a GA? I mean, that's a challenging thing financially to do that.
Absolutely. Well, for me, I've always felt like of giving back was critical. There's a lot of people in my life who had great impact on me and gave me great advice, mentorship, and pushed me forward. And I've always wanted to give back and be of service to other people. My grandfather was a pastor, so I spent a lot of time in church doing fellowship and helping other people. So I knew that's the route I wanted to go. I just didn't know what specifically. So after graduation, staying in the community, you know, I'm from Indiana, but I just love Lafayette, West Lafayette community. So I thought I'd stay there and give back to some of the kids that I knew or worked with and volunteered with while I was in school. And, you know, I moved forward with my life. I got into the business side of things and I just missed ball. And Coach Tiller, Coach Spack knew that I've always wanted to be a coach or get back into it in some capacity. And I got the call. It was actually Chris Clopton who called me.
Yeah.
I'm a former teammate. And he said, hey, man, they're creating two new positions, quality control positions. And you were the first name on the list. And, you know, it was a pretty big sacrifice, especially financially. But anything that you want, once again, you've got to be willing to make sacrifices and you got to push and you got to challenge yourself. And fortunately for me, I had the support system, not only at home, but obviously at Purdue, because my coaches were still there. You know, it was the right decision for me. I am now able to specifically impact young men in a manner that I don't believe that I would be able to do otherwise.
And obviously mentors are important. And Chris, I actually spoke with him this morning about a person that's near and dear to your heart that passed away a week ago today. And course, one jersey number away from you. You were number 22. Yeah. He was number 23. Leroy Keyes, one of the, you know, a guy that's really hard to put into, you know, one of the great players in the history of college football, but really made a difference to a lot of kids at Purdue just in his time from 1995 when he came back on Jim Coletto's staff to his passing. Tell me about your relationship with him and what he meant to you.
Well, for me, I know him as Coach Keyes. That's, you know, and I never slid out of that lane and started calling Leroy. Like, he's Coach Keyes to me. He is one of the critical figures in my life in terms of my professional career, personal career. He set an example that just you know, he's one of the special people who walk this earth. You know, you won't find a finer person, a better friend, a better mentor than Coach Keys. He talked me through so many different personal matters. He was willing to take the time to sit down with the 18, 19-year-old kid and talk him through, Coach, I don't know if I can do this anymore. Yes, you can. Believe in yourself. I remember, to go back to the story of me getting the scholarship, he showed up at practice the next day. And he hugged me and he told me he loved me. I told you. I told you, son. You're good enough. You can do this, you know. You know, but he did that. He didn't do it just for me. He did it for everyone. You know, if you were willing to say hello to him, he's going to make time for you. He just knew the right things to say, when to say them, how to say them. But you know, when he put that big hand on your shoulder, you know, you felt loved. You felt like you were, you know, like you were talking to your uncle, your dad, you know, just, he just knew there was a way, he had a way of uplifting you. And, you know, he believed in me. And to me, that's a critical factor. We all need people in our lives beyond our nuclear family who believe in us. And when I came back in 2007 as a GA, it went back to a story or conversation we had back when I walked on, because I told him everything that I wanted to do. And he said, I told you, you know, if you put forth the effort, God will provide. And next thing you know, now I'm coaching. You know, let alone I earned a scholarship for Purdue. I had a good football career. Now I'm coaching, you know, and one of our last conversations, I told him, I'm just trying to be like you. I'd always say that to him and he would be laughing. No, you won't be like me. Stop that. You know, but I meant it sincerely. You know, if I can be the father he was, if I can be the husband he was, if I can be the ambassador for my sport, football, for my school, Purdue, then you know, then I'm doing things right. If I can make Leroy smile down from heaven, then I know I'm doing things right. And, you know, I wish I would have been able to spend more time with him. But obviously we all go on and live in our lives, but the impact he had on me is just invaluable, and on my teammates. You know, so I'm on behalf of all my teammates, you know, I just want his family to know that we love him. You know, he's a part of us, and he's left an impression on us and those teams that will last forever.
All right. You know what? I know one thing, at age 44, he'd be celebrating your birthday today too, as well. And he is in another place, and I will pass this along to his family. I think that they are hearing a lot of these messages, but they're important. Each one about somebody that making that impact as well. So Lamar, I'll let you get back to your day job, which is pretty all consuming these days. We wish you well. We wish the Red Hawks well.
Thank you.
And all those good running backs you're producing there. It's a crazy time to be a college football coach with the transfer portal and everything else.
Yo, you have crazy. To deal with. That's a fact.
Not to mention COVID, but with your attitude, I'm guessing we're going to see a lot more big things from you coming down the road. So have a great rest of your birthday. Thanks so much for your time and
joining
us for the Arnie's birthday Zoom. Privilege to have you on.
Awesome. Boiler up.